57. To kill the wind. Malchin was stymied, for though he was inferior to none in the arts of war, he was not suitable for the light weavers. He wished for his oaths to be elementary and straightforward, and yet their spren were liberal, as to our comprehension, in definitions pertaining to this matter. The process included speaking truths as an approach to a threshold of self-awareness that Malchin could never attain. From Words of Radiance, Chapter 12, page 12. Shallan stood up in her seat, watching Adolin's beating below. Why didn't he surrender? Give up the bout? 4 men! She should have seen that loophole. As his wife, watching for intrigue like this would be her duty. Now, barely betrothed, she'd already failed him disastrously. Beyond that, this fiasco had been her idea. Adolin seemed about to give in, but then for some reason he threw himself back into the fight instead. "Fool man," Sabariel said, lounging beside her, Polona on his other side. "Too arrogant to see that he's beaten."
"No," Shallan said. "There's something more."
Her eyes flicked down toward poor Renarin, completely overwhelmed as he tried to fight a shard-bearer. For the briefest instant she considered going down to help. Sheer stupidity. She'd be even more useless than Renarin down there. Why didn't anyone else help them? She glared across at the gathered Alethi light eyes, including High Lord Amaram, the supposed Knight Radiant. Bastard! Shocked at how quickly that sentiment rose inside of her, Shallan looked away from him.
Don't think about it.
Well, as nobody was going to help, both princes seemed to stand a good chance of dying.
Pattern, she whispered. Go see if you can distract that shard-bearer fighting Prince Renarin.
She would not interfere with Adolin's fight, not as he'd obviously decided he needed to keep going for some reason, but she would try to keep Renarin from getting maimed, if she could. Pattern hummed and slipped from her skirt, moving across the stone of the arena benches. He seemed painfully obvious to her, moving in the open, but everybody was focused on the fighting below.
Don't you get yourself killed on me, Adolin Colin, she thought, glancing back up at him as he struggled against his 3 opponents.
Please. Someone else dropped to the sands.
Kaladin dashed across the arena floor. Again, he thought, remembering coming to Amaram's rescue so long ago. This had better end differently than it did that time. It will, Syl promised, zipping along beside his head, a line of light. Trust me. Trust. He'd trusted her and spoken to Dalinar about Amaram. That had gone wonderfully. One of the shard-bearers, Relis, the one in black armor, trailed stormlight from a crack in the vambrace on his left forearm. He glanced at Kaladin as he approached, then turned back away, indifferent. Relis obviously didn't think a simple spearman was a threat. Kaladin smiled, then sucked in some stormlight. On this bright day, with the sun blazing white overhead, he could risk more than he normally would. Nobody would see it. Hopefully. He sped up, then lunged between two of the shard-bearers, ramming his spear into Relis's cracked vambrace. The man let out a shout of pain, and Kaladin pulled his spear back, twisting between the attackers and getting close to Adolin. The young man in blue armor glanced at him, then quickly turned to put his back toward Kaladin. Kaladin put his own back toward Adolin, preventing either of them from being attacked from behind. What are you doing here, bridge boy? Adolin hissed from within his helmet. Playing one of the 10 fools. Adolin grunted. Welcome to the party. I won't be able to get through their armor, Kaladin said. You'll need to crack it for me. Nearby, Relis shook his arm, cursing. The tip of Kaladin's spear had blood on it. Not much, unfortunately. Just keep one of them distracted from me, Adolin said. I can handle 2. All right. It was probably the best plan. Keep an eye on my brother if you can, Adolin said. If things go sour for these three, they might decide to use him as leverage against us. Done, Kaladin said, then pulled away and jumped to the side as the one with the hammer, Dalinar had named him Elit, tried to attack Adolin. Relis came in from the other side, swinging as if to cut right through Kaladin and hit Adolin. His heart thumped, but training with Zyle had done its job. He could stare down that shard blade and feel only a mild panic. He twisted around Relis, dodging the blade. The black-plated man glanced at Adolin and took a step in that direction, but Kaladin lunged as if to strike him in the arm again. Relis turned back, then reluctantly let Kaladin draw him away from the fight with Adolin. The man attacked quickly, using what Kaladin could now identify as vine stance, a style of fighting that focused on defensive footing and flexibility. He went more offensive against Kaladin, but Kaladin twisted and spun, always getting just out of the way of the attacks. Relis started cursing, then turned back to the fight with Adolin. Kaladin slapped him on the side of the head with the butt of his spear. It was a terrible weapon for fighting a shardbearer, but the blow got the man's attention again. Relis turned and swept out with his blade. Kaladin pulled back a hair too slowly, and the blade sheared the pointed end off his spear. A reminder. His own flesh would put up less resistance than that. Severing his spine would kill him, and no amount of stormlight would undo that. Careful, he tried to lead Relis farther away from the fight. However, when he pulled back too far, the man just turned and moved toward Adolin. The prince fought desperately against his two opponents, swinging his blade back and forth between the men on either side of him. And storms, he was good. Kaladin had never seen this level of skill from Adolin on the practice grounds. Nothing there had ever challenged him this much. Adolin moved between sweeps of his blade, deflecting the shard blade of the one in green, then warding away the one with the hammer. He frequently came within inches of striking his opponents. 2-on-1 against Adolin actually seemed an even match. 3 would obviously be too much for him. Kaladin needed to keep Relis distracted. But how? He couldn't get through that plate with a spear. The only weak points were the eye slit and the small crack on the vambrace. He had to do something. The man was striding back toward Adolin, weapon raised. Gritting his teeth, Kaladin charged. He crossed the sands in a quick dash, and then, right before reaching Relis, Kaladin jumped to put his feet toward the shardbearer and lashed himself that direction many times in quick succession. As many as he dared, so many that he burned through all of his stormlight. Though Kaladin fell only a short distance, enough that it wouldn't look too unusual to those watching, he hit with the force of having fallen much farther. His feet smashed against the plate as he kicked with everything he had. Pain shot up his legs like lightning striking, and he heard his bones crack. The kick flung the black-armored shardbearer forward, as if he'd been struck by a boulder. Relis went sprawling on his face, blade flung from his hands. It vanished to mist. Kaladin crashed to the sand, groaning, his stormlight exhausted, and the lashings ended. By reflex, he sucked in more light from the spheres in his pocket, letting it heal his legs. He'd broken them both, and his feet. The healing process seemed to take forever, and he forced himself to roll over and look at Relis. Incredibly, Kaladin's attack had cracked the shard plate. Not the center of the back plate where he'd hit, but at the shoulders and sides. Relis climbed to his knees, shaking his head. He looked back at Kaladin with what seemed like an attitude of awe. Beyond the fallen man, Adolin spun and came in at one of his opponents, Elit, the one with the hammer, and slammed his shard blade two-handed into the man's chest. The breastplate there exploded in molten light. Adolin took a hit on the side of the helm from the man in green to do it. Adolin was in bad shape. Practically every piece of plate the young man wore was leaking stormlight. At this rate, he'd soon have none left, and the plate would grow too heavy to move in. For now, fortunately, he'd basically incapacitated one of his adversaries. A shardbearer could fight with his breastplate broken, but it was supposed to be storming difficult. Indeed, as Elit backed away, his steps were awkward, as if his plate suddenly weighed a lot more. Adolin had to turn to fight the other shardbearer near him. On the other side of the arena, the fourth man, the one who had been fighting Renarin, was waving his sword at the ground for some reason. He looked up and saw how poorly things were going for his allies, then left Renarin and dashed across the arena floor.
Wait, Syl said. What is that?
She zipped away toward Renarin, but Kaladin couldn't spare much thought for her behavior. When the man in orange reached Adolin, he'd again be surrounded. Kaladin scrambled to his feet. Blessedly, they worked. The bones had re-knit enough for him to walk. He charged Elit, kicking up sand as he ran, spear clutched in one hand. Elit wobbled toward Adolin, intending to continue the fight despite his disabled plate. Kaladin reached him first, however, ducking under the man's hasty hammer strike. Kaladin came in swinging from the shoulder, holding his broken spear in two hands, giving the attack all he had. It smashed into Elit's exposed chest, making a satisfying crunch. The man let out an enormous gasp, doubling over. Kaladin raised his spear to swing again, but the man lifted a wobbling hand, trying to say something.
"Yield,"
his weak voice said.
"Louder,"
Kaladin snapped at him. The man tried, out of breath. The hand he raised, however, was enough. The watching judge spoke.
"Breadlord Elit yields the combat,"
she said, sounding reluctant. Kaladin backed away from the cowering man, light on his feet, stormlight thundering inside of him. The crowd roared, even many of the light eyes making noise. Three shard-bearers remained. Relis had now returned to his companion in green, both harrying Adolin. They had the prince backed up against a wall. The final shard-bearer, wearing orange, arrived to join them, having left Renarin behind. Renarin sat on the sand, head bowed, shard-blade stuck into the ground before him. Had he been defeated? Kaladin had heard no announcement from the judge. No time to worry. Adolin once again had three people to fight. Relis scored a hit on his helm, and the thing exploded, exposing the prince's face. He would not last much longer. Kaladin charged up to Elit, who was trying to hobble off the field in defeat.
"Remove your helm!"
Kaladin shouted at him. The man turned to him with a shocked posture.
"Your helm!"
Kaladin screamed, raising his weapon to strike again. In the stands, people shouted. Kaladin wasn't sure of the rules, but he had a suspicion that if he struck this man, he would forfeit the duel, maybe even face criminal charges. Fortunately, he wasn't forced to make good on the threat as Elit removed his helm. Kaladin snatched it from his hand, then left him and ran toward Adolin. As he ran, Kaladin dropped his broken spear and shoved his hand into the helm from the bottom. He'd learned something about shardplate. It attached itself automatically to its bearer. He'd hoped it might work for the helm now, and it did. The inside tightened around his wrist. When he let go, the helm remained on his hand, like a very strange glove. Taking a deep breath, Kaladin yanked out his side knife. He'd started carrying one meant for throwing again, as he had as a spearman before his captivity, though he was out of practice with that. Throwing wouldn't work against the armor anyway. This was a pitiful weapon against shardbearers. Still, he could not use the spear one-handed. He charged Relis again. This time, Relis backed away immediately. He watched Kaladin, sword held out. At least Kaladin had managed to worry him. Kaladin advanced, backing him away. Relis went easily, keeping his distance. Kaladin made a show of it, darting in, backing the man away as if to give the two of them space to fight. The shardbearer would be eager for this. With his blade, he would want a good open area around them. Tight quarters would favor Kaladin's knife. However, once a sufficient distance away, Kaladin turned and dashed back toward Adolin and the two men he was fighting. He left Relis standing there in an anxious pose, momentarily befuddled by Kaladin's retreat. Adolin glanced at Kaladin, then nodded. The man in green turned with surprise at Kaladin's advance. He swung, and Kaladin caught the blow on the shardplate helm he carried, deflecting it. The man grunted as Adolin threw everything he had at the other shardbearer, the one in orange, slamming his weapon down again and again. For a short time, Adolin had only one foe to fight. Hopefully he could use that time well, though his steps were lethargic and his plate's leaking stormlight had slowed to a trickle. His legs were nearly immobile. Greenplate attacked Kaladin again, who deflected the blow off the helm, which cracked and began leaking stormlight. Relis came charging up on the other side, but didn't join the fight against Adolin. Instead, he thrust at Kaladin. Kaladin gritted his teeth, dodging to the side, feeling the blade pass in the air. He had to buy Adolin time. Moments. He needed moments. The wind began to blow around him. Syl returned to him, zipping through the air as a ribbon of light. Kaladin ducked another blow, then slammed his improvised shield against the blade of the other, throwing it back. Sand flew as Kaladin leaped back, a shard blade biting the ground before him. Wind. Motion. Kaladin fought two shard-bearers at once, knocking their blades aside with the helm. He couldn't attack, didn't dare try to attack. He could only survive. And in this, the winds seemed to urge him. Instinct, then something deeper guided his steps. He danced between those blades, cool air wrapping around him, and for a moment he felt, impossibly, that he could have dodged just as well if his eyes had been closed. The shardbearers cursed, trying again and again. Kaladin heard the judge say something, but was too absorbed in the fight to pay attention. The crowd was growing louder. He leaped one attack, then stepped just to the side of another. You could not kill the wind. You could not stop it. It was beyond the touch of men. It was infinite. His stormlight ran out. Kaladin stumbled to a halt. He tried to suck in more, but all of his spheres were drained. The helm, he realized, noticing that it was gushing stormlight from its numerous cracks, yet hadn't exploded. It had somehow fed upon his stormlight. Relis attacked, and Kaladin barely scrambled out of the way. His back hit the wall of the arena. Greenplate saw his opening and raised his blade. Someone hopped on him from behind. Kaladin watched, dumbfounded, as Adolin grappled Greenplate, latching onto him. Adolin's armor hardly leaked at all anymore. His stormlight was exhausted. It seemed that he could barely move. The sand nearby displayed a set of lurching tracks that led away from Orangeplate, who lay in the sand defeated. That was what the judge had said just earlier. The man in orange had yielded. Adolin had beaten his foe, then walked slowly, one laborious step after another, over to where Kaladin fought. It looked like he'd used his final bit of energy to hop up on Greenplate's back and grab hold. Greenplate cursed, swatting at Adolin. The prince held on, and his plate had locked, as they called it, becoming heavy and almost impossible to move. The two teetered, then toppled over. Kaladin looked at Relis, who glanced from the fallen Greenplate to the man in orange, then to Kaladin. Relis turned and dashed across the sands toward Renarin. Kaladin cursed, scrambling after him and tossing the helm aside. His body felt sluggish without the stormlight to help.
"Renarin!"
Kaladin yelled.
"Yield!"
The boy looked up. Storms, he'd been crying. Was he hurt? He didn't look it.
"Surrender!"
Kaladin said, trying to run faster, summoning every drop of energy from muscles that felt drained, exhausted from being inflated by stormlight. The lad focused on Relis, who was bearing down on him, but said nothing. Instead, Renarin dismissed his blade. Relis skidded to a stop, raising his blade high over his head toward the defenseless prince. Renarin closed his eyes, looking upward as if exposing his throat. Kaladin wasn't going to arrive in time. He was too slow compared to a man in plate. Relis hesitated, fortunately, as if unwilling to strike Renarin. Kaladin arrived. Relis spun around and swung at him instead. Kaladin skidded to his knees in the sand, momentum carrying him forward a short distance as the blade fell. He raised his hands and snapped them together, catching the blade. Screaming. Why could he hear screaming? Inside his head. Was that Syl's voice? It reverberated through Kaladin. That horrible, awful screech shook him, made his muscles tremble. He released the shard blade with a gasp, falling backward. Relis dropped the blade as if bitten. He backed away, raising his hands to his head.
"What is it? What is it? No! I didn't kill you!"
He shrieked as if in great pain, then ran across the sands and pulled open the door to the preparation room, fleeing inside. Kaladin heard his screams echoing inside the hallways there long after the man vanished. The arena grew still.
"High Lord Relis Ruthar,"
the judge finally called, sounding disturbed,
"forfeits by cause of leaving the dueling arena."
Kaladin climbed, trembling, to his feet. He glanced at Renarin. The lad was fine, then slowly crossed the arena. Even the watching Dark Eyes had grown silent. Kaladin was pretty sure they hadn't heard that strange scream, though. It had only been audible to him and Rallis. He stepped up to Adolin and Greenplate.
"Stand up and fight me!"
Greenplate shouted. He lay face up on the ground, Adolin buried beneath him, holding on in a wrestling grip. Kaladin knelt down. Greenplate struggled more as Kaladin retrieved his side knife from the sand, then pressed the tip of it into the opening in Greenplate's armor. The man grew perfectly still.
"You going to yield?" Kaladin growled. "Or do I get to kill my second shard-bearer?"
Silence.
"Storms curse you both," Greenplate finally shouted inside his helm. "This wasn't a duel. This was a circus. Grappling is the way of the coward."
Kaladin pressed the knife in farther.
"I yield,"
the man yelled, holding up his hand.
"Storm you, I yield."
"Bright Lord Yakimov yields," the judge said. "The day goes to Bright Lord Adolin."
The Dark Eyes in their seats cheered. The Light Eyes seemed stunned. Above, Syl spun with the winds, and Kaladin could feel her joy. Adolin released Greenplate, who rolled off him and stomped away. Underneath, the prince lay in a depression in the sand, head and shoulder exposed through broken pieces of plate. He was laughing. Kaladin sat down beside the prince as Adolin laughed himself silly, tears streaming from his eyes.
"That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done," Adolin said.
"Oh, wow! Ha! I think I just won 3 full suits of plate and 2 blades, bridge boy. Here, help me get this armor off."
"Your armorer can do that," Kaladin said.
"No time,"
Adolin said, trying to sit up.
"Storms. Completely drained. Hurry, help with this. There's something yet for me to do."
Challenge Sadeus, Kaladin realized. That was the point of all this. He reached in under Adolin's gauntlet, helping him undo the strap there. The gauntlet didn't come off automatically as it was supposed to. Adolin really had completely drained the suit. They pulled the gauntlet off, then worked on the other one. A few minutes later, Renarin wandered over and helped. Kaladin didn't ask him about what had happened. The lad provided some spheres, and after Kaladin had tucked those in under Adolin's loosened breastplate, the armor started to function again. They worked to the roar of the crowd as Adolin finally got free of the plate and stood up. Ahead, the king had stepped up beside the judge, one foot on the railing around the arena. He looked down at Adolin, who nodded. "This is Adolin's chance," Kaladin realized. "But it can be my chance, too." The king raised his hands, quieting the crowd.
"Warrior! Duel master!"
the king shouted.
"I am greatly pleased by what you have accomplished today. This was a fight the like of which hasn't been seen in Alethkar for generations. You have pleased your king greatly."
Cheering. "I could do this," Kaladin thought.
"I offer you a boon,"
the king proclaimed, pointing to Adolin as the cheering quieted.
"Name what you wish of me, or of this court. It shall be yours. No man, having seen this display, could deny you."
The right of challenge, Kaladin thought. Adolin sought out Sadeus, who had stood and was making his way up the steps to flee. He understood. Far to the right, Amaram sat in his golden cloak.
"For my boon,"
Adolin shouted to the quiet arena,
"I demand the right of challenge. I demand the chance to duel High Prince Sadeus right here and now as redress for the crimes he committed against my house."
Sadeus stopped upon the steps. A murmur ran through the crowd. Adolin looked as if he were going to say something more, but hesitated as Kaladin stepped up beside him.
"And for my boon,"
Kaladin shouted,
"I demand the right of challenge against the murderer Amaram. He stole from me and slaughtered my friends to cover it up. Amaram branded me a slave. I will duel him here right now." That is the boon I demand.
The king's jaw dropped. The crowd grew very, very still. Beside him, Adolin groaned. Kaladin didn't spare either one a thought. Across the distance, he met the eyes of Bright Lord Amaram, the murderer. He saw horror therein. Amaram stood up, then stumbled back. He hadn't known, hadn't recognized Kaladin, until just then.
You should have killed me, Kaladin thought.
The crowd started to shout and yell.
Arrest him!
The king bellowed over the din. Perfect, Kaladin grinned. Until he noticed the soldiers were coming for him and not Amaram.